This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. This is Straight Fire for Friday, November 19th. I figure this is probably the Friday where everybody starts to get into Thanksgiving break mode, at least college kids, certainly elementary and high school kids, and then, you know, parents. I'm sure not a lot of them are working next week. Well, you know I am, because sports don't take rests ever. Feels like, obviously, there's huge, huge Thanksgiving football games. Next week in the NFL is going to be crazy, and this podcast will be around next week. Probably not every day next week, but we will be around next week. Obviously, I want to start by thanking Brian Windhorst for Thursday's podcast. It was tremendous. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Today's podcast will be NFL heavy. Picks coming up. Got to start with the Thursday night. I can't say the bad words this early in the podcast. Too many kids of dads that I know have told me they listen to the pod, so I'll keep it, you know, G-rated, but oh my gosh, how bad was Falcons 0, Patriots 25? You know, you knew that like midway through the first quarter, approaching the second quarter, like this is unwatchable. If it were a movie, you would have walked out in the first 30 minutes. It was bad football. Patriots win 25-0. They, if you're playing them in fantasy football, their defense scored like 28 points, which is just absolutely brutal. I do fortunately have Nick Folk, the kicker for the Patriots, who's the only guy who did anything. That's how bad the game was. And I'm sorry, I had to laugh at this. This was funny. So Matt Ryan, who we'll get to in a sec, it's obvious they're not winning the game. They're down a lot to 0 fourth quarter. And they bring in Josh Rosen. So everybody's like, oh, Josh Rosen. Remember the guy who was picked 10th a few years ago, UCLA kid. He was the one who had a hot tub in his like dorm room. It was pretty funny. Josh Rosen's third pass, interception, pick six. And I mean, you're just like, oh, geez, that's three picks for the pay. That's awful. So what do the Falcons do in the next series? They bring in Felipe Franks, the rookie out of Florida. Drops back, first pass, intercepted. That's how bad it was for the Falcons. Three quarterbacks take the field. All of them throw interceptions. Atlanta somehow mustered about 165 yards of total offense. It was even worse than it sounds. They got to the red zone twice, came up with 0 points. You knew it was going to get ugly early when they had a 45-yard field goal. Falcons make it, but there's a flag, and they have to re-kick it 5 yards back. Well, take a guess what happens. Obviously, he shanked it, and that was that. It was pretty bad. Mac Jones now 5-0 on the road. Hey, listen, you got to give credit to the rookie. You know, Kyle Shanahan pulling his hair out watching every single Mac Jones performance, where you know that obviously Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones as his guy, got talked out of it. We've been all over this for probably 8 months now, and it's going to be a story, especially if the Niners don't make the playoffs and Trey Lance continues to not be ready. Mac Jones is going to get New England into the postseason, but I just want to point out to everybody who's excited, oh, Patriots have won 5 in a row, they're dominating. Listen, the upcoming schedule, Titans, who have the best record in the AFC, at the Buffalo Bills, where the Patriots will be considerable underdogs, at the Colts, that'll be an interesting game, especially if the Patriots have lost 2 in a row. Then they have another game with the Bills, and at that point, we will know whether or not the Patriots are going to the playoffs. Those three games should decide it because they close out with two likely layups in the Jags and Dolphins. So they're at least getting 9 wins. I don't know if 9's going to do it in the AFC, but we'll do more on the Patriots and their playoff chances after this weekend. Again, before we get to best bets for college football in the NFL, I just need to... this Matt Ryan saga is getting kind of sad, right? This guy was an MVP winner. Had the Falcons, what, a quarter away from the Super Bowl against the Patriots before that collapse? And this is staggering. In the last 3 years, he's been essentially the same guy. I cannot believe this is real. 2019, Matty Ice, quarterback rating 92.1. 2020, 93.3. 2021, 93.1. He's basically had an identical QBR for 3 straight years. He's just like treading water. Matt Ryan's QBR, 59.6 in 2019, 59.8 in 2020, 55.5 in 2021. I mean, this is Matt Ryan has basically plateaued as a quarterback. He's on a franchise going nowhere. They have a new head coach. He has no offensive line to speak of, no run game. Julio Jones is gone. Calvin Ridley sounds like he's not going to come back this season. Of course, he's on my fantasy team, so it's natural that he won't come back. And I just wonder, at the end of the season, if you're the Falcons, like, what do? You do not have a quarterback in the pipeline. I don't know how attractive of a free agent destination Atlanta is for quarterbacks. Like, Jimmy G's going to have options. Like, Pittsburgh's going to come calling. There'll be other good teams that have a chance at the playoffs. Atlanta has no chance at the playoffs. I don't know what they do. Do they have to tank from here on out? Because they're not headed toward a top five pick. And this draft is not loaded with quarterback prospects. Plus, they're going to have to get in line behind Houston and Detroit, two very needy quarterback teams. So I don't know what the solution is, but you kind of feel for Matt Ryan, like, hey, man, remember Matt Stafford was like, guys, I gave this a shot. We've tried hard. I've been here forever. Let me just go somewhere else. I know Matt Ryan is wedded to the area. He's well-liked. I don't know that there's a greater player in franchise history than Matt Ryan. And if he says, guys, can I have a shot to win somewhere else? I'm turning 37 in May of 2022. Can I go somewhere else? Because, frankly, Matt Ryan's going to have a chance he could still do some things. Like, if Seattle loses Russell Wilson, could Matt Ryan win in Seattle? I don't know about behind that offensive line. Indianapolis, it makes like a great landing spot with that behind that offensive line and run game. Problem is, of course, Indy seems like they're linked to Carson Wentz, but I will add, if they don't make the playoffs, are we sure they're sticking with Carson Wentz? I know they gave up picks for Wentz, but are we certain that he is the future there? He's been good. He hasn't turned the ball over much, but I don't think he's won a big game or come close. Like, if he doesn't get them over the hump, do they kick the tires on Matty Ice? I just feel like his time in Atlanta is definitely over. And someone around the league is going to have to say, hey, man, let's give this guy a shot. You know, let's give him a chance. We've got a team that can, I don't know, maybe come close to contending. Pittsburgh Steelers. I just don't know about Matt Ryan outdoors in the cold weather. It doesn't seem like a great fit. That's why I mentioned Indy and the Dome. That could work, but what's up with Carson Wentz? You look to the West Coast, and maybe the Raiders, if they punt from Derek Carr, maybe they consider Matty Ice. But I can't see him surfacing in Denver. That doesn't make any sense at all. Those NFC East teams, you know, the Eagles, they obviously aren't going to be committed to Jalen Hurts. We know they want Deshaun Watson, but the New York Giants, like, it just nothing really makes sense for Matt Ryan. Like, Matt Stafford got the perfect landing spot, right? Warm weather. NFC West team, so he's in good climates for the most part until he has to get to the playoffs and go to Green Bay or maybe next year Chicago, not this year. But a dome team makes sense. And I the last one I'll say, they're in the division, so it seems highly unlikely. But what if the New Orleans Saints said, Matty Ice, you want to come a couple states away and play with us? You want to give it a shot? Because in that dome, if they can get a receiver in the draft, if they can coax Michael Thomas into returning with Kamara, like, I mean, Sean Payton, are you kidding me? I think that'd be a home run. But again, staying in the division seems highly unlikely. At any rate, let's get to the best bets this weekend for college football and the NFL.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, it's time for the best bet here on Straight Fire. Really strong weekend last weekend. If you remember, the college picks for the Fox column where I have to pick the best games. And again, I don't advise always betting on the best games because they are the sharpest lines. There's the most information out, injury and otherwise, about the biggest games. When I am about to give you Southern Miss getting 15 here in a minute, you're going to be like, huh? Oh, let me just find it and bet it. Because there isn't as much. I mean, you're not going to watch that game on television. And most people out there couldn't name five players on Southern Miss or their head coach. But that's where the machine can find an edge. And some of these picks are machine generated. But let's go to the big. Let's start with the big games. We'll go college football and then the NFL. So in college, it's a good slate of games, not great. And unfortunately, I like some dogs. I'll start with this. Iowa State getting 4. probably one of my favorite bets of the weekend. Oklahoma, we know they are a sinking ship. They lost last weekend, probably looking ahead to this game. And they got Oklahoma State, the big rivalry game on deck. That could be, I think, for the Big 12 title. I like Iowa State. They've been a massive underachiever this season. I believe they're 6-4, and they started out the season in the top 10. They got a lot of returning guys from the running back to the quarterback to the tight end. Like, they should be better than this. This feels like a massive performance from Matt Campbell's guys. Is Matt Campbell ever going to move on from here? I don't know if his stock is down given this season, but I like Iowa State getting 4. Looks like it's at 3.5 this morning, but I got 4 earlier this week. In another big game, and this is a tough one, Utah favored, yes, by a field goal over Oregon. Now, everybody and their mom's betting Oregon here. They are the classic public dog. They are a top 5 team in the playoff rankings. Everybody saw them beat Ohio State. Everybody is going to be on Oregon here. I'll take Utah at home. Give me the Utes. I don't think anyone else is backing them. I'm on an island, which is where I like to be. McIntyre Island is a lovely place. And I personally don't like Utah that much this season, but in this spot, I've got to, on principle, like, what is the line telling you? Okay? Oregon is the team everybody knows in the college football play. Everybody knows them, and they are underdogs on the road to Utah. But everybody is backing the Ducks. No, I'm taking Utah, favored by 3, 3.5. And the other one that's interesting, and again, you're not going to like this. Like, give me Sparty getting 19 against the Buckeyes. Ohio State's murdered almost everyone on the schedule. Oh, except the teams that can run the football or are halfway decent. I mean, they beat a lot of bad teams. Did not cover against Penn State. I had the Buckeyes. Did not cover against Oregon. I had the Buckeyes. Let the Minnesota running back, before he got injured, rush for like $160. Listen, I don't know if the Heisman kid Kenneth Walker is going to have 150 or 200 in this one. Ohio State would probably be smart to just stack the box and not let him have any airspace. But Walker's good, and I think Michigan State can probably hold on to the ball long enough. It's probably a decent look at the first half under, because Ohio State's going to come out probably a little bit tight. We know what game they have next after this one. I wouldn't be shocked if Michigan State kept it close. I can't envision them winning, but you give me 19 against an Ohio State defense that's vastly overrated and a Michigan State program that has lost the last 4 to the Buckeyes by 20 or more, including last year by 40. I can see a big, you know, a tough performance from Mel Tucker and the Spartans. So I took the 19. Now, the non-interesting games, the games that I bet that, you know, I don't want to say, you never want to blindly follow anybody. Navy plus 4. Southern Miss plus 15. Notre Dame minus 17. Yeesh. And Middle Tennessee State plus 3.5. The last one is SMU getting 11. Now, this number's been all over the place. If it gets underneath double digits, if it gets to 9, I kind of got to take Cincinnati here, but this is the big one for the Bearcats. If they win this, basically they're, I don't want to say in the playoff, but that's as good as a resume is going to get, because they've got a tomato can next week. This is a tough one. SMU's pretty good. They got the Oklahoma transfer, Tanner Mordecai. I mean, the guy's got 37 touchdown passes. You know, he went toe-to-toe with Jalen Hurts for the starting job, and then Rattler lost out both of those and then transferred. But he was a backup to Kyler Murray. He's been around the block. The kid can play. And the Cincinnati defense has kind of looked suspect the last couple weeks. They're playing like a tight team that's nervous. They didn't cover. I'm betting against them. I didn't take them in the column, but I'm taking SMU getting the double digits. But again, if it's, you know, if you waited and didn't listen to this until Friday night, or late Saturday, or early Saturday morning, you know, this could be under 10. At that point, I'm not advising taking SMU, because that's just, well, that's a bridge too far, right? Come on, we're talking about Cincinnati. They're loaded. So those are the college picks this week. And on the NFL front, listen, I had 4-1 week in the contest, the $4 million contest. So I spent some time looking at the standings like an idiot. Anytime I do that, I'm overthinking it. And you guys remember that tennis tournament I was in? I made it to the semifinals. I'm leading in the first set 4-1 against this guy. You know, he's got like 15 years younger than me. Okay player, but I'm up 4-1. I'm like, all right, I got this. I start thinking about the final, which was the next day. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to miss my son's basketball game. I might have to miss my daughter's too. Oh, man. What am I going to eat tonight so I get a good rest and I'm ready for the finals? Yeah, I start thinking about the finals in the middle of the semifinal match, just because I was up 4-1. And of course, I lost track, lost the set, totally unraveled and lost. I haven't played tennis since that loss, which I think was late July, early August, which it hurt too bad. And I need to walk away from the game for a little bit. So this is kind of happening here. I had a really good week in the contest. 3-0 in picks that were not a teaser last week in the Fox column. And irrationally, I like a lot of games this week, which can be troubling. Let's start. So this is funny, guys. Remember last week on the pod, I mentioned there's a trend that I guess so, it popped on TikTok, which you know is going to get out there before it hits the mainstream. Teams that did not cover facing teams that covered were hitting at 73%. 2 weeks ago, I think it went 7-0. Last week, depending on how you, 3 weeks ago, it went 7-0. 2 weeks ago, depending on how you scored the Aaron Rodgers, Kansas City game, it was 4-1. Like, given that Aaron Rodgers was a late scratch and the number moved like 6 points, I kind of tossed that one out the window. So this went 4-1. There are four of those this week, okay? We saw Falcons, Pats on Thursday Night Football. That was one of them. Jets, Dolphins is another. And again, we have a bit of a sketchy quarterback situation. Joe Flacco going to be the starter. Now, we have seen spot starters come into the NFL this season for one start and just shock people. Colt McCoy against the Niners. Now, Colt McCoy is a veteran. Well, Flacco's a veteran too. Cooper Rush for Dallas in Minnesota. Mike White for my Jets against the Bengals. We've seen guys come in and shock the world is a little bit strong, but we've seen some surprising results from backup quarterbacks coming out of nowhere in the first game. After that, you know, they turn into a pumpkin, which happens. Joe Flacco applies here. I took a nibble of the Jets. I haven't decided if I'm going to take it in the contest yet or not. 3.5, it's probably a buy for me, but I'm seeing it 3 in the contest, so it's like, listen, I really think the Jets have a shot this week. I'm just going to say a sentence and just let it marinate. Should the Miami Dolphins be favored over anybody? Just let it sit in. Think about it. They were favored against the Houston Texans. The line came down against them when Tyrod was reported back. And the Dolphins turned the ball over 5 times at home against Houston and were able to barely cover the spread. Okay, now they go on the road favored. And you want to back them here? I think it's Jets or nothing. So +3 is the line.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The next one that fits that trend is the Colts-Bills. Now, I got the Colts at 7.5. I got 7. I think there are some legit edges for the Colts here. And you never want to say, I feel supremely confident going against one of the best teams in the league. But if you guys look at who the Buffalo Bills have beaten this season, it's not a murderer's row. They don't have a great resume. It's just not that impressive. And what should I care that they beat up a lot of bad teams? I mean, when they had to face a good run defense in Pittsburgh, they lost the opener. When they had to face a good run defense in Jacksonville, and I know they were down a couple linemen, Jacksonville pushed them around. And then, of course, they lost to the Titans, who had a good run game. Well, Jonathan Taylor is tied for the league lead in rushing. Like, there's a legit opportunity here for the Colts to control the ball and steal this win on the road. Remember, guys, they went to remember that playoff game in Buffalo last year? Colts go in as 6.5-point dogs. Cover the spread, had 470 yards of offense, 27 first downs. I know it was Rivers and not Wentz, but if they don't go 2 for 5 in the red zone, the Colts win that game. They were really good. I like Frank Reich a lot. I trust him in this spot. I think they can deliver. I don't know about the upset, but I can definitely see them pushing and covering against a Bills team that, listen, are they good? Of course they're good, but they haven't had a 90-yard rusher this season. They're not going to win against the Colts offensive line, which is as healthy as it's been all season. And, you know, people want to look at last week. They went up 17-0 on the Jags. They kind of fell asleep. You think maybe they were looking ahead to this game just a little bit? And the Jacksonville Jaguars came back and covered. Meanwhile, what did Buffalo do? They smacked around the Jets by like 30. So I think there is some value on Colts. I had to take it, and I'm going to take it in the contest. And the final one that fits the trend is the Cleveland Browns against maybe somebody named Tim Doyle. I think that's his name. Because Jared Goff has an oblique injury, and it sounds like Jared Goff is not going to go. Now, that could change here in the next 48 hours. But let me just make sure I got the guy's name correct. It is Tim Boyle. I'm sorry, Tim Boyle. I was confusing it with the O'Doyle Rules. Adam Sandler movie. And then Susan Boyle, who was that singer in whatever that show was. I don't watch reality TV, but Susan Boyle was such a good singer. Anyways, Tim Boyle is the backup in Detroit. Not David Blau. Somebody named Tim Boyle. I looked this up. He hasn't thrown an NFL pass since 2019. Welcome to the NFL. This is Myles Garrett. He's going to be coming at you. And you just look at that, you're like, oh, goodness gracious. Good luck, Tim Boyle. Now, I dug up a fun stat from the Lions' tie with the Steelers. Are you ready for this? So Mason Rudolph dropped back and threw 50 passes in the overtime game last week. The Detroit Lions did not sack Mason Rudolph once. But even worse, they did not hit Mason Rudolph once. Think about this. You throw 50 passes and you're not hit once. I mean, this defense is very, very bad. I think with the return of Nick Chubb, they were able to exploit it on the ground, run all over them. I think the Browns can contain him. When the Browns have stepped down in class, they've really beat up on some bad teams, namely the Chicago Bears. They crushed them. They smack around bad teams. Listen, Patriots are pretty good. So I like the Browns. Double-digit favorites are always risky. The other ones I'm looking at, I took the Vikings plus +2. This Aaron Rodgers thing, I guess we're going to find out today what's going on, but hasn't practiced the last 2 days. By the way, neither has Lamar Jackson. I stayed away from that game. But it's weird. In the last 2 weeks, every single contender has had a midseason slip up. Remember that led to the pod this week with Sam Monson where we're like, who the heck is good? Well, I don't know. I look at the Green Bay Packers and I say, okay, the Bills, they lost to the Jaguars. The Rams have lost two in a row. The Bucks lost to Washington. Dallas lost to Denver. Green Bay has, with Aaron Rodgers, not had a slip up yet. And you wonder, you saw David Bakhtiari, who's supposed to be back. We've been talking about this for weeks, that one of the best left tackles in football, not practicing this week. Aaron Rodgers. Not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Jones, the running back, out this week. The Vikings get healthier. Go look at how many. They had two big starters down last week, including Barr. Still beat the Chargers. Barr and their big run stopper, Pierce, in the middle. He's back. I just think things line up here for a Vikings big performance and a win, an outright win. So I like Vikings money line and getting two. By the way, this is not a primetime game, so Kirk Cousins, you don't have to worry about him absolutely vomiting all over himself. Give me the Vikings. I took Washington at 3.5. I know that's not going to sound very appealing because it's like, oh, you're taking Taylor Heinicke off beating the Bucks. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, look on the other side of the football, guys. Carolina smashed Arizona, and now Cam Newton sounds like he's going to be the starter. And you're like, oh, Cam Newton, really? Guy was untouched for 9 weeks throughout the league, and now he's going to start? Huh. And the Chase Young thing, okay, he hadn't played that well this season. Washington got healthier from the bye. I know they got some turnover luck in that game against Tampa early, Brady picks. But again, as I said with Miami Jets, say this out loud. The Carolina Panthers are favored by 3.5. The last two times they were favored just happened to be against NFC East teams, the Eagles and the Giants. Do you want to take a gander at what happened in both those games they were favored? They lost outright. And I would not be shocked if Washington won this outright. Now, listen, you get the hook. It's money. Three, it probably ends up pushing. This is going to be a field goal game, right? It doesn't feel like anybody absolutely crushes the other. McCaffrey scares me a little bit. The Washington linebackers, according to Pro Football Focus, grayed out very, very poorly. Davis ranks 75th out of 86 linebackers. Holcomb, 46 out of 86 linebackers. And the other linebacker is someone named Kaliki Hudson out of Michigan. I don't know any of these gentlemen. And that those are the guys that would be matched up with Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. So, yes, I have some concern about this Washington defense. John Bostic has played awful. The young kid Davis out of Kentucky also struggled. So I don't know what their game plan is for McCaffrey. One would hope Ron Rivera has something dialed up. And the final one, I'll talk about Survivor in a sec, but the final against the spread is I'm looking at the Houston Texans getting 10.5. Simply a fade of the Titans because I'm pot committed fading the Titans, right? Every week. I know our guy David Baker, who's been saying, listen, Titans are for real. Don't fade them. Dave, there's no way 10.5 you're actually getting that this week, right? There's zero chance that you would dive into this game and say, give me the Titans favored by 10.5. There's just no way. There's no way you're doing that. Getting 10.5? I mean, if there's a letdown spot, now I know I've been saying this for weeks on the Titans, this has to be it, right? I mean, all five straight games, I saw a stat. They are 7-0 this season against teams that made the playoffs last year. Like, that's impressive. This team just keeps on rolling, and if there is going to be a letdown, it's probably this week. Now, I didn't take it yet, but I'm probably going to take it. That's why I'm saying it here. Final note, this is a long gambling segment. Survivor. Okay, I've told you guys a lot about the contest. It's a mid, I thought it was a mid five-figure payout, but I'm hearing it's closer to $80,000, which would be a really, really big hit. I have Tennessee or Cleveland, and I just told you that I'm probably going to take the Texans getting 10.5, so I think Cleveland has to be the side for me in Survivor. And if you go down swinging, now Baker gets knocked out of the game. Case Keenum, there's a level of confidence in him filling in. You know, he knows Stefanski's system. He's a veteran. I'm definitely going to go against Tim Boyle here. Earlier I stated how backup quarterbacks have come in and done fairly well, but I think I have to go with Cleveland. At home, the run game. I mean, if something changes and Chubb can't go, maybe I rethink it and go Tennessee, but it's either Cleveland or Tennessee. Now, next week in Survivor is the real, real tough one. I started to look at it a bit this week, and it made my stomach get a little queasy just because it's really a difficult week in Survivor. But it went from 2,468 people to 102. I had two accounts, or I had two entries. I lost one on the Bengals-Jets, and I mean, one more left. I mean, there was so much carnage in the last 3 weeks that I'm in the mix here, and it's funny. This has taken precedence for me over fantasy because how much money is at stake, and also B, like bragging rights. And I think my strategy's been nails. I've saved the Bills. If I save the Titans here, they have the easiest schedule the rest of the season. So I still would have Titans and Bills, who are the two best teams in the AFC. Those are good to have in my pocket. And, you know, unfortunately, neither of them has a great spot next week. So it's dicey. Survivor is fun. Me and my son need some fantasy help this weekend to get in the playoffs. I'm in good shape in one league, but the other four, it's like up in the air. Oof. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.